This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, broadcast from Port Fest 2021 here at Rogers Campground. And after doing a bit of walking around, just now I have to say, is actually starting to feel like Port Fest. Yesterday, it just sort of didn't because the crowds weren't really here. But today, it absolutely is. And it's beautiful. It's a fantastic time. You still got time to join us. We are here until July the 4th. Of course, the Porcupine Freedom Festival ends on June the 28th, but I, looking around, I honestly don't know how many people could possibly be down there because it looks like everyone else is just sort of wandering around and having a good time, which is what Fork Fest is all about.
The place is full of people, that's for sure, and it's a great event.
It is. It's good to see people who I only really see once a year or maybe a couple of times a year, and here everyone congregates, and it's like a great big family reunion. It's fantastic. And we're joined today by Patrick of the Mises Institute.
Patrick Newman. He's a Mises Fellow. Yes.
Yeah.
Patrick, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Now, you're giving a couple of speeches here. I guess you're one of the important folks they brought in for this. Can you tell me what your speech is at, was it 3 today?
Yeah, sure. So at 3 o'clock, I'm speaking on what would Mises and Rothbard say about the Free State Project. So this is
Who's Ludwig von Mises? Who is Murray Rothbard?
You beat me to the punch. So Mises and Rothbard are two Austrian economists and also libertarian political philosophers. So
an Austrian economist?
Austrian economist. It's a heterodox school of thought, basically in favor of free markets, decentralization. They emphasize the entrepreneur. So it's basically sort of anti kind of mainstream economics. Views the world from the perspective of the entrepreneur. Emphasizes the structure of production, free market money, etc. So it's
The Federal Reserve prints trillions to the point that there's 40% of the money, M2, that has ever existed in the world been printed since the beginning of 2020. Austrians basically just go, right?
Yeah, they weren't exactly fans of that, including myself, so I actually had a tweet about the M2 money supply yesterday because the most recent monthly statistic came out yesterday. So money M2 grew at about 1.25% in the month,
yeah.
Which is an increase actually from April is about 1.03. So last year M2, as you mentioned, grew by about 25%.
Right.
This year it's on track to grow by about 15%. These are numbers that are way out of norm compared to the 2010s or even in the 1970s.
Well, sure, the government's been printing money like crazy for the last year, and they've used COVID as an excuse for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, to be clear, when you say that it's 15% that it's grown so far in 2021, that includes using the amount of money that is existent in 2020 as the percentage. So if there was 100 units available in 2020, then there would be 115 at this point in 2021. What is it as a percentage from January 2020 till now?
Well, so right now with the M2, it's actually the percentage increase over the entire year. I was saying about 15%. I have to look at what it is at about since January 2020.
It's got to be about 40. Would be
No, it's up there, and it's. I only just.
I want to point out, Mark, that is a lot of math to ask someone to do on the spot.
He's an economist.
But
he's a professor.
Quick, tell me what 17 times 42. You have 20 seconds, and we're live on national radio.
Let me get on my phone. Yeah, the main thing is there's been a tremendous amount of money that has been printed over the past year or two. A lot of people are saying there's not going to be inflation, but we've already started to see inflation. It's in the consumer price index. It's in the producer price index, and it's probably going to last for a bit of time, which is certainly going to shock
markets. Well, didn't the Austrians define inflation as an increase in the money supply, not an increase in prices?
Yeah, absolutely. So Austrians would consider the actual increase in the money supply as inflation because that's what causes the rise in prices. You hear a lot about to the extent price rises have already started to occur. People say, oh, well, it's due to supply shocks, transitory. These are kind of the buzzwords that you hear about a lot. And those can certainly cause it, but it's really trying to cover up the fact that inflation is caused by an increase in the money supply, and that money supply, of course, comes from the government. So the Federal Federal Reserve doesn't want to say, oh, yeah, sorry, the rise in prices is due to us. They're going to blame it on some other factor.
So, Patrick, I'd love to know this information, the question that I asked, which is exactly what is the percentage that the money supply has increased since January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put that on your Twitter sometime in the near future, and we can just give your Twitter handle here?
Yeah, sure. That'd so I'm Dr. Patrick Newman on Twitter, so I actually I make a lot of GIFs. They're pretty fun. So I had one about the money supply yesterday. If anyone's ever seen the movie The Punisher, when he throws a bunch of money over he takes a bunch of Howard Saint's money, throws it over the building, and all these people are rushing to grab the money from the ground, and I basically have stimulus checks explained, which more or less describes everything you need to know.
It really is.
Printing a bunch of money, giving it to people, and what do you know, when they spend it, prices are going to go up. This is certainly revolutionary.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes perfectly good sense. If you're on an island and coconuts is your currency, and people are making things or doing services or whatever it is, when you introduce more coconuts into the marketplace, if there were only 10 coconuts to go around and now there's 20 coconuts to go around, well, the price of everything's just doubled, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, this is the issue that's going to happen, especially as the economy reopens and people spend the money. It's different than the financial crisis when the Federal Reserve increased bank reserves tremendously, but it didn't really leak out into the money supply for people to spend, because it mainly, they also are paying interest on excess reserves. We can go into all sorts of complicated things there. But now they're actually just giving money to people, so the money supply, M2, is increased, and now people are actually going to go out and spend that. Businesses, consumers, governments, etc.
Is that good or bad when you look at, I understand we're on a relative term here, right? I'm comparing 2008 when the Federal Reserve gave a bunch of money to banks, and banks just held it in reserves, and it didn't go really into the marketplace quickly, mm-hmm. versus 2020, when the Federal Reserve and the United States government hands out a bunch of free money to everybody, and of course the first thing they do is go out and spend it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the stimulus checks were relatively mild compared to the tremendous increase in unemployment benefits. I suspect most of the inflation is a result of that. Well, rather than the actual stimulus checks.
Well, it's really, in a sense, it's a combination. The Federal Reserve wasn't directly giving money to the government. They were buying some of their old debt, and that was basically lowering their costs. So basically making it easier for the government to borrow, which allowed them to basically buy a bunch of assets from corporations, businesses, give out those PPP loans, give out unemployment benefits, which have totally screwed up the labor market, which is we're now realizing that it's really hard to get, a sandwich at a restaurant or something because no one wants to work. It's incredible. If you pay people not to work, they're not going to work. Again, revolutionary insight.
Having just left essentially a business in the food industry, the crackdown on employment has been real. Everywhere you go, there are help wanted signs, and of course, no one wants to take up those jobs because they're getting paid equal amounts of money to sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, you have the leftists on social media who are like, well, then they just need to pay more, offer benefits and higher wages, and they don't understand that the businesses have to actually earn money that they're paying employees, where the federal government can just endlessly print it, thanks to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
So you're competing with someone who has an infinite supply and who isn't playing by the same rules.
Yeah.
You can't expect businesses to compete with that.
Absolutely. There's really two schools of thought now. The first school of thought thinks that government is a Santa Claus. They can just give out things for free, and it doesn't take away real resources. And the other group basically realizes
Santa
live in a world
has slaves.
Of scarcity. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, when we talk about this, one of the thoughts is that we are now inflating the currency at such a rate that perhaps there's no getting out of this spiral. So the first thing it brings up in my mind is hyperinflation, Weimar Germany, Zimbabwe, and these kind of scenarios. And if the listener wants to take any time to research that, you will be horrified at the notion that government backs their currency with nothing. Or
except their good faith and credit.
But I mean, the other side of this is the Federal Reserve has been doing this for a long time. At the very least 50 years, if not 100 years plus, they have been monkeying with the monetary system.
Systematically devaluing people's money.
That's correct.
Is how I would put it.
And
the
we're still okay, right? Like, we're still the greatest economy on earth and, these sorts of things. So
I don't know how okay people really are. I mean, we have families who can't pay their rent.
Let's keep Dr. Patrick Newman on. You can find him on Twitter. Dr. Patrick Newman here for just one more second if we could.
Yep, we're here at Fort Fest. And you're
I don't
still...
think he answered any of our questions from the very beginning. I didn't even get to talk about a speech.
We're here at Fort Fest having a good time. Come and join us. We're here until July the 4th.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live.
Live year after year being here at Rogers Campground. This is my fifth year of, I've made it to every Pork Fest. 5 years of the Porcupine Freedom Festival now. It never gets old. If you somehow have never made it here, it's time to check it out. All you have to do is come up here. We're here until July the 4th, and we're going to be doing the show until then. With you today, it's Aria and Mark, and we're joined by Patrick Newman of the Mises Institute. We've been talking about inflation and the money supply and what really Americans can expect going forward with the increase in prices that resulted from the massive amounts of government spending that occurred throughout 2020 and so far into 2021, with things like the payment protection program, the unemployment benefits, the direct stimulus checks. I've heard another round of stimulus checks is on the way. There's also the child tax credit. I don't know the details of this. Something like $750 per month per child every single month. Basically, it's the UBI. It's the universal basic income, and it's not going to help the USD any on the world stage.
Right,
Bitcoin.
Let's bring more children into the world. Incentivize the creation of more children that the only value to the parent is $750 a month. Now, there's a recipe for a disastrous society, ladies and gentlemen.
But they don't care.
Brought to you by the Democratic Party.
They don't care. I mean, that's what they want. They want more tax slaves. They want more unthinking people.
They want to get
the kind of person who's going to have children for the child tax credit. We're not dealing with Einsteins here. We're not dealing with people who are going to become multimillionaires, highly productive members of society, because their parents are idiots and irresponsible. So we're just going to produce massive amounts of below average, irresponsible people, and they're the perfect tax slave for the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
They never complain. They never step out of line. They either don't vote at all, or they vote for whichever one the media tells them to vote for based on whether or not they're a Democrat or a Republican.
I'd say anybody can break out of that mold, but many don't.
Sure.
That's what I would say. So, Dr. Patrick Newman, you are doing a speech here in the near future, which will be the past when this airs. What's the speech on? Let's actually talk about it this go
round. Yeah, sure. So it's what would Mises and Rothbard say about the Free State Project. So this refers to Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, two famous Austro-libertarians, Austrian economists, libertarian political philosophers, and what they would say about the goal of many libertarians to basically relocate to a state such as New Hampshire, obviously, and try and create a more free society there.
Yep. I'm pretty sure I know what Ayn Rand would say, considering her whole premise of Atlas Shrugged being, the rich and productive and wealthy folks the industrialists moving to Galt's Gulch. Mm-hmm. But what would Rothbard and Mises say?
Well, so without, of course, giving away too much of my talk, but this will be after, so I guess it doesn't matter either way.
It doesn't matter either.
Mises and Rothbard would obviously both support it. They would be in favor of decentralization. I mean, they consider Mises thought that it was a right of people to basically break away from a state. He came actually, surprisingly, a lot of people don't know this, in a neglected book of his, Nation State Economy, which came out in 1919, he came very close to anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is he said, well, individuals couldn't break away for technical considerations. He just didn't really want to go through that. Rothbard, of course, was an anarchist, but both of them would support it because
he created the term, so, in this sense, Rothbard created the term anarcho-capitalist with the intention of sort of from an academic standpoint identifying what he was trying to say. And
I have to be honest, I've never read any Mises, but I have read a ton of Rothbard.
And in his use of the term, he isn't talking about people who want communism without traveling through socialism, which is generally what you'll find the black-clad Molotov cocktail-throwing anarchist from Europe doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I use the term libertarian to describe that idea. But nonetheless, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, so this was, so both Mises and Rothbard are very influential. I love Rothbard. I've worked a lot in his archives, so I've read many of his private correspondence. But both of them, they were very in favor of this idea of people being able to at least move, decentralize, and then possibly even break away, which we consider sort of a long-term goal of, you might say, the Free State Project. I myself live in Florida right now. I would love it if Florida became the independent Republic of Florida. Florida could possibly break away, or any other place. I think secession's great. I think what Catalonia had done or tried to do, what Kurdistan tried to do, the Kurds, I think that's the best way in the modern world to try and weaken the state apparatus.
I think that when I think about Kurdistan and Catalonia, I'm looking at states that want sort of more government for themselves as an ethnic group, and it's kind of the thing that I don't want to see from governments. I'm kind of a, if I was, you know, if there's any particular group that I'm biased towards, it's IQs as opposed to, you know, an ethnicity or a religion or a culture or anything like that. And, you know, the idea that we socialists dislike those socialists because those socialists don't have the same history as us socialists, and, you know, so they're, as much as I pay attention to the secession movements and like them, you know, at the same time, you know, it's hard for me to
root
for
socialists. Well, I mean, if people want to voluntarily create an ethno-state, and,
yeah,
I mean, that's their thing.
Right.
I wouldn't
What's really important
it.
About your ethno-state is to find a group of nearby placed individuals that you can slaughter en masse.
Well, no.
Looking at you, China. Looking at you.
We don't want that.
But I'm just saying, that's what an ethno-state results in.
Well, I mean, look at Israel. They are the pinnacle of ethno-states right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they enshrined,
China is.
They enshrined in their constitution that they're an ethno-state.
Yeah. Sure.
Even with places like Catalonia and Kurdistan, even if they don't have the most libertarian motives, I'd still support it because the decentralization is actually going to make them harder to do a lot of support those big government proposals because people can more easily move between countries. So one thing I would love, because sometimes you hear this when a Republican president wins, is as California and the West Coast, they say, oh, we're going to leave the United States. And I say,
bye-bye.
Go ahead. Where can I sign? You know, right. How can we expedite this process? Because, one, they don't realize that it's going to make it a lot harder for them to do that stuff. And, of course, if California leaves the United States, it's going to make the United States at least relatively less socialist, less interventionist.
It will also make the federal government significantly weaker.
Absolutely.
The one thing that I dislike about that, if I may pop in, is the United States State Department has made it more and more, progressively more difficult to travel between countries as time's gone by. They Latin American countries, their immigration status is funded almost entirely by U.S. aid.
Yeah.
And, you know, people think that the United States just drops off a suitcase full of money, and no, there's all kinds of caveats to it.
Right.
And I actually saw the American flag on a booth in Belize saying this was donated by the United States State Department.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and I mean, and so you do have those formal rules. I think market is what we did, especially as more as a historian, I could comment on this, you know, during the American Revolution and beyond, you have smuggling, basically the black market. I mean, even something like Brexit, I would still, you know, support. It's not necessarily always the purest of motives, but again, I think the most important thing is breaking the government, and they're obviously going to sort of counterattack in ways. That's what they're afraid of, obviously, and they're going to lay down certain laws. But I think especially if like a state, the United States, some state in the United States left or whatever, those barriers would get whittled away.
I would hope.
Yeah.
I tend to agree, and I didn't support the motives behind Brexit, but I was also glad to see it because it just weakens the European Union.
Go to Twitter. It's Dr. Patrick Newman. Look him up. It's spelled just like that, no spaces, and you will find out the answer to how much M2, or maybe M1, has increased since January 2020.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is unveiling his strategy to deal with the rise of violent crime in the United States.
The strategy places a heavy emphasis on curbing gun violence, including tougher enforcement on gun dealers who violate federal law. The president says part of their efforts are to have local leaders provide information about illegal gun owners and illegal gun sales.
Mayors have the power to help shape and enforce the laws in their cities, but they can't control the laws in neighboring cities and states, even though the gun legally bought there as often ends up in their streets.
The Biden administration is moving on from the leader of the Border Patrol. In a statement, Rodney Scott saying he received a letter offering him three options: to resign, retire, or relocate. The 29-year-old veteran explained he hasn't decided if he will leave or accept reassignment. USA Radio News. The U.S. intelligence community concluded last week that the government of Afghanistan could collapse as soon as 6 months after the American military withdrawal from the country is completed. This as we hear the Taliban is taking over territory as the United States continues to withdraw from Afghanistan. That is confirmed by General Mark Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman.
It is true that the Taliban are sniping at and picking off outposts, etc., and they have seized some district centers. 60% of the 81 were seized last year, and the others since the last 2 months or so. So, yes, we're concerned. We're watching it. But there's a 300,000 plus or minus military force, Afghanistan army and police force, and it is their job to defend their country.
Four people are hospitalized after a pedestrian bridge in Washington, D.C. collapsed. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live at Rogers Campground, celebrating Fort Fest 5, 2021. It's a beautiful day, nice and warm. Aria here is with you.
And Mark. And we've got Peter St. Ange, who's a longtime friend of mine. I was so happy to see you when you came up, Peter, and I ran up and gave you a big hug, which is kind of what Fort Fest is all about, seeing people you haven't seen in a long time and having a great time. Are you having a good time?
I'm having a super time, and honestly, in this day and age, giving somebody a hug is a revolutionary act. So,
yeah. I was hoping that hugs would make would actually be the thing that came out of the whole COVID thing, because it is more sanitary than like taking the second dirtiest part of your body and rubbing it against the other person's second dirtiest part.
We got a war on handshakes, and I am super happy to switch over to hugs.
So you are a contributor over at CryptoEconomy.com, a fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and I know you're giving speeches here today. What are you doing?
So I got a couple topics. One of them was this morning talking about Austrian economics. Just kind of a 101.
Well, define it then.
It's a deductive method. Basically, what we try to do, that means that we try to figure out why people do the things they do.
Right.
Right?
So that's what economics really should be, is a study of human nature.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what brought me into economics in the beginning.
Because people think it's about money, and it's not a study of money.
It's about human behavior.
Yeah. Money is what we do in order to show what we value.
100%. It's the science of choice.
And I never took one of your courses.
There you go. Hey, you don't need me, man. You're too advanced. Yeah, it's
I had to learn it. I had to learn Austrian economics the hard way.
Yeah. I think fundamentally, Austrian economics is what psychology thinks it is, but is not. All right. So in my mind, psychology has become kind of these fairy tales, these goofy just-so stories of Oedipal complex and whatever the heck they had for breakfast.
Right.
Austrian economics tries to figure out why do people do things. Now, a lot of what we study, yes, involves money simply because the nice thing about money is that you can confirm your theory. Right. So, you know, you see the outcome. All right. So, you know, it's you lose your keys and, you know, you look for them where the light is best. OK, right. Not necessarily, you know, where they fell. Right. A lot of economics deals with money, but fundamentally economics is the study of choice. And what Austrian economics tries to do is to use realistic models of human behavior. So people do things not because they're automatons, because they're zombies, because they're, you know, slaves to marketing and, you know, brainwashed proles, rather they do things because they seek to make their life better in some way.
Yep.
All right. And so in that worldview, the role of the government is to help people get what they want. All right. It is not to shape them like clay. Right. It is not to play with them like little toys, you know, like a child with a game of Risk or something.
Right.
And so, you know, when you sort of play through these two alternative worldviews, you get one world where, you know, you have freedom, you have small commerce, you know, sort of the iconic, to me anyway, libertarian society is, I mean, a lot like here, but, you know, you've got small commerce, you have people voluntarily interacting, you have, you know, communities that are lively and open and friendly, tolerant. Right. And then on the other side, sort of the iconic bureaucrat's view of the world is Stalin. OK, you've got one gigantic mega building where everybody lives. You've got some commissar who tells you what to do. This is a society where people have no freedom. And, you know, frankly, they typically starve.
It would. And it makes perfectly good sense to people. I mean, if you start talking about it, well, you know, what we need is a school system that looks at young people's, you know, particular values and what they're good at and that sort of thing. Puts them on a career path to do that sort of thing that they're going to be good at. And then, you know, dictates what, you know, career path they're going to have. And everything's going to be great. And this is a recipe for absolute disaster time and time again.
Yep, bureaucracy is terrible at that.
It's right.
It's supposed to treat everyone the same as monoliths, as unthinking, ununique things so that it can sort them and categorize them and make its own life easier, where that's just not what individuals are.
But if you look at career paths of people, I mean, I can say that I've, you know, just as Peter said here, I've sought to be happiest in my life. I've gone from being a convenience store operator to, you know, a roofer to a salesperson to, you know, some kind of, you know, fund manager, entrepreneur thing, you know, and a variety of things. And talk show host, we should mention that. And all these things I do in order to make myself happiest, and if I had been told that I had to do something else, I would be unhappy, and I would not be nearly as productive.
And, you know, humanity has tried their way many times, right? I mean, that was the Soviet model,
yep.
Right? The idea was, right, so rather than, you know, foolish commoners directing their own lives, you would have the very top experts. Okay, and they would sit at the Ministry of Whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and they would decide scientifically how everybody is going to, you know, live, you know, whatever, ideally.
Yep.
And it failed spectacularly, and it has been tried hundreds upon hundreds of times, including in American history, right? Early American settlements, many of them tried communism. It failed spectacularly. People are miserable at first, and then gradually they starve to death. It does not work. Rather, you give the power to the people, right? School choice, things like that, right? People decide what career they want to do, how they want to live their lives. To the extent people can make their own decisions, are people uninformed? Do they make mistakes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's part of life. Welcome to the game.
And but the problem with it is that when you tell people, you're the government, then they start saying, well, then I can take money from people. Because the state is an organization that claims a monopoly privilege in the use of violence and is funded through taxation, which is essentially extortion by an organization that cannot be sued, you know, theft. And it, you know, when this occurs, then, you know, the average voter says, well, I just need to get together with 51% of the other people, and then suddenly we will take the money from the most productive people, and this will be awesome.
And this is part of the mystique of the state, that people imagine that the state is some godlike entity looming over us. Fundamentally, the state is Walmart with nukes. Okay, it is a giant corporation, but unlike Walmart, it can use guns to force us to do crap. Now, ask yourself, whatever the question is, should you make the decision, or should Walmart, armed with nukes, force you to make whatever decision they want? For most people, if you're not insane, that's an easy answer.
Right.
Now, why is it that the state gets a special pass?
It flags.
Because the religious brainwash.
It's the reason it's flags, right? Like, if you take a 18-year-old kid, you say, this is your flag, you will fight for this flag. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people have fought for this flag, and if you want to be as good as this flag, those people, then you must fight and be prepared to die for this flag. And then when they stop doing that, which, you know, the post office and fatigues, when they stop being in the military, then they still say, have the indoctrination, which is, that's a really awesome piece of fabric, so much better than the average colors, you know, sewn together. That's the special set of colors.
That's why the United States government needs to stop using our flag.
Yeah. It's politicians. Theirs. Like, every American will tell you, the vast majority of Americans will concede that the vast majority of politicians are liars and thieves. Our government is run by liars and thieves. When you uphold the state and you say that it's super-duper great, you know, I love that flag and those F-18s flying over the Super Bowl and apple pie and eagles and all those things. And I love all those things, mind you. It's great. But, you know, you're just giving cover to liars and thieves.
Right. So I am a huge patriot for America, the American people, not the regime. The regime and the American people are two absolutely distinct, often in conflict.
Yeah, I like the American, you know, I like the concept of what America is far more than I like other countries where they didn't have the guts to pick up and move to a different location. And I get there's all kinds of problems with colonialism and, you know, slavery and everything that else existed. And
sure.
Thank God that we've managed to get rid of chattel slavery, but, you know, it was the condition for 10,000 years. And it's not like it was unique.
No, but I'm certainly, I'm reminded of something that Rothbard said, which was that, you know, that everyone loves their homeland, and it's been the mission of the state to take that person's love for their homeland and to turn it into love for the nation or love for the state, and the U.S. government has been extremely effective at doing that. Sure, I love this continent, I love the people in it, I love the land, but I don't love the government. But the government has, through public school systems and all of its, you know, media indoctrination, all of that, has convinced people that you can't just love one without learning the other, without loving the other. If you don't love the American government, you must hate your neighbors because you want the worst. You want the Russians to take them over, the Chinese to take them over, whatever. It's just a huge amount of wool that's been pulled over our eyes when the reality is quite simple. They're the rulers. We're their subjects. And I can love where I'm at and my fellow subjects without giving a damn about the rulers.
How can people find you, Peter?
I'm active on Twitter at Prof. St. Ange.
St. Ange. Prof. St. Ange at Twitter.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live broadcast from the Hork Fest of 2021 here at Rogers Campground. Having a great time in the beautiful weather, meeting all sorts of interesting people, such as Spencer Flagg here of the Seasteading Institute. Spencer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We've also got Mark here, of course. And, you know, seasteading is something that I've read about here and there, but I've never looked into it much. I know that there was one relatively successful seasteading endeavor until some government got angry at them and started sending warships or something like that at them.
Okay, I know which one you're talking about.
I don't remember the details. I think it was
Spencer,
the Taiwanese government.
Did you want to address that? Or?
Yeah, I can a little bit. So
what happened in Thailand?
Yeah, right. So that was Chad and Nadia of Ocean Builders,
yep.
Which is a company that he started. Self-financed and kind of self-engineered this
really cool hut that
right.
What they call a spar, is that the right term?
Yes.
So
yeah,
it's this bobbing thing in the ocean, and it's...
And the bobbing helps keep it upright.
Right, uses weight and buoyancy to lower the center of mass of this... basically a houseboat that's elevated something like 30 feet above the waves, so that the waves don't actually make it move.
The
waves.
It's not motionless, but it is as motionless as you can get in the open water. And they went over there. They figured this is the right depth. This is the right area for not getting major storms. And this is going to be great. And then, you know, if we have to go get some stuff, we can go to Phuket, which is a word that you need to be very careful about saying on nationally syndicated radio. But in fact, the name of the city in Thailand, and it's spelled with PH, Phuket. And they were out there, they did some videos, and it was inspiring and interesting
very
to see.
Inspiring.
And then apparently some rogue admiral got upset.
Right. And an approach, as he said, took several social media photos with, like, you know, the front of the cannon of their, I don't know, you know, warship of some of some sort, pointed right at this, you know, basically this studio apartment in the middle of the ocean.
Now, they weren't in it, though, as I understand it. I thought they had fled.
Whether they were in it or not, it's still a horrific show of force for people who were just, you know, there and minding their own business and living peacefully.
Chad and Nadia live, though.
Yes.
Is it Nadia?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. They were able to somehow get out of the country and avoid
it was, they were in fear of
for a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, legal repercussions just for building something that was in international waters. It was outside the 12 miles of influence.
But it was
Thailand.
But it was still in their
sphere
of
influence,
like sovereign trade zone or something like that.
Sure.
So
are lots of boats. You can't blow them up.
Right. Exactly. or drag them into port, which is basically what happened.
I assume this particular problem has been solved by the Seasteading Institute. I mean, it sounds like a great idea, and it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, but I don't want to wake up one day with, like, you know, U.S. naval ships pointed at me.
Right. So the Seasteading Institute is a nonprofit think tank that kind of wants to gather information, or, like, you know, spread this idea about seasteading, but also gather information, like, papers on engineering, papers on maritime law, and figure out what are the strengths and weaknesses of this idea, what are the pitfalls that we could possibly
and how do we solve those pitfalls?
And how do we solve them? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the Seasteading Institute doesn't actually do any projects, but Ocean Builders is still alive and well in Linton Bay, Panama, as I understand, and they recently bought a cruise ship, then sold the cruise ship for scrap. I mean, I think this is now the fourth libertarian cruise ship in history that has existed, and none of them have ever gotten people on board. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I'd love to hear more about that at some point.
Well, a cruise ship doesn't sound like somewhere you'd want to live your entire life in, you know, maybe a couple of weeks.
I don't know why not. I mean, you know, lots of people live in small areas, and
yeah, true.
It's a really great example of what...
Upper East Side, Manhattan, studio apartment.
There's a reason I don't live in Manhattan or a studio apartment, realistically.
Well, what I would say about a cruise ship is it is already a libertarian society. So there's two types of libertarian societies. One, you could look at sort of focusing on liberty. The second would be that it's simply private. So you can have a private society that's set up in whatever way. It's voluntary so long as you can leave.
Right.
And that's what I'm looking for, is as many voluntary societies as possible. I want everything from, no law at all to see what happens, to all the way up to, one group of people lording over another. Fine. You know, as long as everybody can leave that wants to leave, that's fine by me.
I mean, that's sort of my concern with seasteading and with the cruise ship idea. It's like, okay, I want to leave. And, okay, well, then jump off the boat. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really an option to leave as much as an option to commit suicide.
Cruise ships spend as much time in port as they do out. So, you know, generally that wouldn't be a problem. But I get your idea. A great example is the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which would be the polygamous Mormons, the small polygamous Mormon sect, where they basically drive the young males out and keep the young females as child brides. And it ain't pretty, right?
You know? I mean, it doesn't sound like it would be very pretty, no.
And to my mind, it doesn't sound terribly voluntary. But, when you're dealing with a 13-year-old who's never set foot outside of the compound, whatever that is, and then you start to say, well, you got to make your choice now whether you want to be the third wife of old John over there, or you can just get out. That's not exactly voluntary, but, you know.
I would agree, and I would, you know, condemn that sort of behavior taking place.
That's what I...
So, I mean, whether it's technically voluntary or not, you're not exactly presenting people with the first choice. That's like saying you voluntarily pay your taxes, because if you don't, the government's going to put a gun to your head or ruin your life or destroy your life or whatever. That's effectively the choices being presented in your scenario.
Right, sure. Even if it was just the government kicks you out of the country.
Yeah, they're essentially saying you can volunteer or we can, you know,
make you pay the consequences of not volunteering.
I think this is what seasteading is all about, is to create these different societies where people have the opportunity to leave. And I think one of the really great ideas of seasteading is you know, a houseboat that is prepared for the open ocean, unlike most houseboats, and can be picked up and moved should you wish to move it, and then go on and try another society. And the idea is that you can take your stuff and you can go and move. The same way that if, you know, like with an RV or something like that.
Yeah, sure. So, like, if people weren't happy here at Rogers Campground in their RV, they could just pick it up and go to some other campground.
It's true.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of the implementations that they've been talking about, are at least with the technology that they've developed so far, is something exactly like that, where, okay, maybe you have a bunch of these kind of floating spar houses. Maybe they're in a harbor somewhere, maybe they're a few miles out, and you could attach them to each other and kind of like form these little ad hoc communities, you know, and presumably there might be some kind of, seasteading is all about political autonomy and...
Sure, but there's certainly benefit in joining in with others of like mind. If you were able to find such a seasteading, I guess, city would be the best terminology.
Right.
If they were of like mind, there's trade and, you know, just sharing knowledge and experiences that are tremendously valuable. It seems kind of lonely and dystopian to think about these floating houses just all out there on the sea, none of them having anything to do with each other, right? So these cities sound like they would be an ideal solution as long as, you know, they get left alone by various governments.
Yeah, and within these little cities or little communities, it wouldn't have to be voluntarist, but clearly that might be an option.
Well, I wouldn't want to be press ganged into joining one. I think I would just drift around until I found a voluntary one.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to say about voluntarism. Voluntarism says, you know, this is the widest of political ideas out there, because it says you can do whatever you want so long as it's free and voluntary.
By the consent of all parties.
Right. All parties.
Oh, I volunteer you to be my wife. No, that's not voluntarism.
Right. And so, you know, and every day you have to make a decision. It's like a marriage, right? Like, I decide every single day whether I want to be in given marriage A or whatever, or not. And, of course, the other person does, too, and that's how it works.
Right.
So a voluntarist society is simply one you can leave, and it really has no other distinctions.
Absolutely. And, you know, if people want to volunteer for a socialist society or to have a dictator or whatever, I mean, that's their right. I wouldn't volunteer for that, but as long as they volunteer for it and can leave at any time, I don't have any particular issue with it.
Indeed.
And I don't care whether, you know, it's one of these free private cities that other people are working on or if it's seasteading. All of these things, I love seeing them being developed concurrently, because any one of them can be a viable option for any particular person. So where can people go to learn more?
Oh, they can go to seasteading.com.
Seasteading.org. Thank you so much for joining us. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.